B-Pod Studios.
Yeah, and matchup. I think it's a lot of matchup. I think Jimmy might look at Tobias and, like, you know, or the other teammates, everybody, and just say, you know, I got this. This guy ain't sticking me.
All right. I'm looking at it like I see this version of Jimmy Butler, and I can't go back to it enough, but when you traded for him, you weren't getting things done in the fourth quarter. You didn't have a guy to lean on as your closer. I mean, Joel Embiid, sure, but you need a guy that can also control the ball, run point for you a little bit, and JoJo's not doing that. Jimmy Butler is doing that, and that's what he was doing before he came here. That's what he was doing throughout his career. And now you have him. All of a sudden, that kind of talent goes away for whatever reason, and now it's back.
Yeah.
And as the season closes out, and as you learn how these five guys can play together as a starting five, I still think the best version of the Sixers is getting this version of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
That's how I see it playing out. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler closing out games for you, getting you those 10 to maybe even 20 points in the fourth quarter. Yesterday just went off. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler getting that ball in the fourth quarter, controlling the pace of play, setting up his teammates, taking it to the hole, getting fouled when he can. And that's the kind of thing that you saw from him yesterday. And that's why, of course, Joel played great throughout. But in those final 5 minutes, when you saw Jimmy Butler be able to control the way things were playing, control the tempo and all that, that's when you saw the Sixers play their best. And here's what's wild. And we've talked about this a lot. Those five players need to play together as the season winds down. JoJo's going to miss the next game. A little work, load management, everyone's favorite phrase.
Yeah.
But when the starting five has played together, it's now seven games. This is just seven games.
Yeah.
This starting five has played together. They're 6-1 in that span. Their only loss is, of course, to the Boston Celtics. Good to see him get together again yesterday for a little bit of a party on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank, financial solutions for your business. Talking a lot of 76ers today. They win over a 52-win team, best record in the NBA, beating the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday in Milwaukee. Some great closeout performances from Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons, a little bit under the radar in this game. When he had big plays, they were big. But for the most part in this game, a little bit under the radar, despite 9 assists, 9 boards for the Sixers point guard.
Yeah, but not a lot of turnovers either. You know, so that was one of the big things for about Ben. You know, just, all right, let's not cutting out of all the silly mistakes, you know, just throwing the ball away. So, I mean, you know, just control the game, be a part of it, you know, do your thing, you know. But he didn't hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a good thing.
Yeah, that's a maturity level thing, too, that he can just allow, you know, like if Jimmy Butler's looking to take over a game, Joel Embiid late, okay, I'm here if you need me. Like, that's a maturity thing, I think, especially for a point guard.
6 turnovers for Ben Simmons in his last 4 games. I mean, that's he would have that in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, in the last 4 games, he's been able to control the basketball a lot better, make better heads-up plays, not try to force passes like we've seen him try to do so many different times this year. You have seen a much smarter version of Ben Simmons over the last couple of games as well.
This was a smarter team play. I mean, for them to come out of this game with only 13 turnovers, I mean, hell, they had that last game by halftime.
Yeah.
You know, you had 14 turnovers in the last game by halftime. So this just shows that this team was really focused, and this was one of those matchups that these guys knew that they had to go out there and play their best game.
And the nice part of it is that, like Mark was saying earlier, 84 points in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So 130, 125, that's an up-and-down game. Sixers got 100 shots off yesterday, Milwaukee 95. So that lends to up-and-down, here you go, frantic basketball. And as you said, Trey, only 13 turnovers. That's Brett Brown probably has to be happiest about that after yesterday's game.
I don't know as a coach how you can correct that. I always look at the players, especially if it's a bad pass from a veteran like Jimmy Butler. But if the Sixers eliminate those turnovers, and this is true for any team that has turnovers in any sport, if you just cut down on those turnovers,
yeah.
I mean, they say it all the time in football, Trey. Yeah. You just win the turnover battle, and your odds to win the game go up immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in basketball. Stop giving the other team so many more opportunities than you have.
Exactly.
I think one of the reasons they have so many turnovers, it kind of equates to the way Brett Brown looks at his players off the floor. And we've heard it many times. I just want them to be them. I don't want to take away Joel Embiid's social media presence because he's so great at it. I don't mind that Ben Simmons is going off to California, whatever. They have to be their own people. I think he kind of does that on the court also, and that's what maybe leads to some of these turnovers. Mm. You know, it's not, Ben, don't make the look away pass. Make the obvious pass. I think he just lets them be them and trying to figure it out on them for themselves.
Here's something I wanted to get into today, because I'm watching this game, especially in the first half when the Sixers are, for the most part, really controlling everything, right? Are the Sixers the same type of matchup nightmare for the Bucks, the way the Celtics are a matchup nightmare for the Sixers? Like you look at the Bucks, and far and away, they look like the better team. Again, 52 wins of the season, best record in the NBA. But when it comes to a matchup in the playoffs, do Bucks fans not want to face the Sixers because of a matchup battle? You look at size, right? Like a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? When he takes on other players, he can back them down. Look what he did to Ben Simmons yesterday with about 90 seconds left in the game, backing him down. Two bumps, two shoulders to the chest. Next thing you know, turnaround jam. Not turnaround, you know, baby hook. He threw it down on Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is arguably, what, 6'10", 7 foot? Depending on who's measuring him.
Mm-hmm.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo just boom, boom, dunk. That's what he's able to do against guys like that. But when you look at the Sixers, a 6'8 Jimmy Butler, 6'10, 6'11 Ben Simmons, a 7'1 Joel Embiid, even Boban Marjanovic, right? You had Giannis Antetokounmpo backing him down yesterday on a particular play, I believe, in the second quarter. When I watch that, I go, okay, they have the size to really make Giannis Antetokounmpo work for it. And that's what he had to do yesterday. It was 52 points, but it was 52 points he really had to work for. Now, the Sixers, you mentioned this earlier, Bob, they're going to try to outscore teams.
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed, and you've noticed this with the however many different guards it's been that they've allowed to score 30 or more points against them, are they the type of team that's going to look at a guy like the Greek Freak and say, all right, you're going to get yours. We're just not going to let anybody else beat us. You're going to have to be the guy that beats us.
Because
that's what it looked like for the most part yesterday. Middleton had a couple of shots here and there. Lopez dropped in a few. That one that made it interesting with about 3 seconds left. Edge of the seat. But it seems like to me the Sixers' defensive strategy is going to be, let your one scorer get his, and we'll take care of everybody else.
It did help us now, and I agree with that, but it did help us also that Malcolm wasn't in the game.
Sure.
You know, that helped us out a lot. That, you know, you never like to see a player injured, but, you know, that did help us.
They weren't as good as they could have been, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I do agree where they have, they kind of let the one player, all right, hey, you get yours, everybody else, we shutting down.
Yeah, and it was weird. Like, their philosophy was just so out there yesterday. And like I said, it was different. They were just allowing Milwaukee to gun. Milwaukee took 50 of their 95 shots were threes. And if, you know, Jamie and I rewatched the game this morning. I mean, most of them were wide open, just wide open. So they were concentrating on just packing the lane, covering Giannis one-on-one, and then hopefully force-feeding him into coverage into the lane, which didn't really work. I don't know. I don't know the philosophy of the one guy. We asked Brett like a month or so ago what it was, and he kind of said, yeah, that's sort of it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm convinced now. As much as Brett will say defense rules the day, I think offense rules the day.
Well, Bob, you'll be down there Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, we'll be down there Wednesday night pregame show.
I think you'll have to hit Brett with that question again.
Thanks, Jane.
See if his answer has changed over the last month.
That's a good idea. I'll get right on it.
Shine a light in his eyes, Bob.
Yeah, I'll tell him Jamie told me to ask.
All right, Brett, you singing a different tune
and
now?
And he'll say that Jamie's one sharp guy. That's what he'll say to you.
He'll be spewing the compliments. He'll be throwing all the
but
compliments.
But it does seem like that is their way.
Yeah, I mean.
Which is, versus Milwaukee, it's fine. Versus a Toronto where they have a Siakam or a Lowry or a second and third option. Yeah. And look, they have Middleton, but he just kind of disappeared yesterday. Versus Milwaukee, it works. Well, does it work versus Boston? Does it work versus Toronto?
Sure, but that brings me to my point. It brings me back to my point of those other, like, they're a good matchup Sixers
totally.
For Philadelphia, it's a good matchup against the Bucks. But when you start getting those other guards that can score the basketball,
that's when they get in trouble.
You look at the Celtics, the same type of thing. When you have guards that can score a lot, like the Raptors do, like the Celtics do, that's where the Sixers start to struggle. But when it comes to a matter of physicality, like a team like the Bucks, that's where they can hold their own. Mm-hmm. Because they have a bunch of guys. Do you want to play physical? All right, let's party. Because they got at least three guys on this roster that want to play physical basketball. They got Jimmy Butler, they got Joel Embiid, and they got Ben Simmons. And then they got Bobby coming off the bench trying to body up guys as well.
Yeah, Mike Scott's a physical player too, coming off the bench.
I love him.
But yeah, I just think in a playoff series, having one player that you have to shut down becomes pretty easy. I shouldn't say easy, but you can sit and diagram and come up with different ways with one guy when that's all you're concentrating on is that one team. You know, you go in and play Giannis Antetokounmpo 2 days after you played somebody, it's like, whoa, there he is. That's right, this guy's really... You have a series where you're just concentrating on him. Their next drop-off is to Chris Middleton.
Like, that's their next best player,
yeah.
Right?
You know, so that's, to your point, Mark, that's why this Sixers team, I think, has such an advantage over this Milwaukee team.
I mean, look, Brogdon averaged around 15 points per game. He's one of their second best guy, with Chris Middleton probably their third. You're looking at guys, Brooke Lopez can play some ball. But when you're looking at the real matchup here, especially with Brogdon out, it's basically, let Giannis Antetokounmpo get his, and then try to work around the rest of it.
We work everybody else.
Figure it out after that. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear how the Flyers won last night. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. You had to have seen it. You've had a couple of days to try to digest what happened. Bryce Harper still looking for that first hit, but he got hit on Friday, and it made a sound that it was very similar to that of a $330 million piggy bank being broken. That's what it sounded like.
Pretty cool to know he's impervious to pain, though.
Yeah, he took that. He shook it off.
Merely hobbled.
Yeah.
I know you like that.
Just walk it off, man. That's what I'm talking about.
You could be a football player.
Spit on it. Let's go. Let's get back in the game, baby.
Rub some dirt, baby. it was wild, man. And I think a lot of us just kind of, we waited 118 days for a guy to get hit in the ankle.
Yeah.
That's what we were waiting for. 610-632-0975. Fortunately, though, it's all good. Sam, do you have an update for us on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
This morning we asked who deserves to be the MVP of the NBA. We have just over 1,000 votes so far. 58% say Joel Embiid, and 42% say Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So
ready?
Close.
Ready? You are. I got you. Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
There you go. Antetokounmpo.
K-U-M-P-O. That's how I got a vision image. Antetokounmpo.
Andrew, you're next. I'll teach you next, all right?
Antetokounmpo.
The first time he said it.
You can do it, Trey. We got
this. I'm saying it phonetically based off of basketballreference.com, which obviously makes me correct.
Yeah, I can't. It's...
The Greek freak.
Yeah, the Greek freak. The Greek freak.
I like that Sam put canoe in the middle of it. Canoe. That's how it gets to work, evidently. 610-632-0975. And once again, we are asking for only unbiased voters. Correct, Sam?
Yes, but we're in the city of Philadelphia.
That's how you know it's real. We're only soliciting unbiased voters. Got a wide open board for you, folks, if you want to get in the running for our Sixers tickets March 28th against the Brooklyn Nets. You can win a pair of tickets to the game, and then you'll win a spot. The caller will win a spot in our knockout tournament on the court after the game. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatics, 712.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The good. Couturier at center. He avoids a man. Now he's in 2-on-1. Here's Couturier, shoots. He scores! Sean Couturier wins it with his third career overtime goal. And the Flyers, with less than 4 seconds left in overtime, come back to beat the Pens 2-1.
How about the orange and black yesterday, Trey?
Mm-hmm.
They did that hockey.
Yes, they did. Big win.
So supposedly Penguins fans were chanting 16,000.
Yeah, do you know, are you familiar with that toad of a human being and fat slob Mark Madden out in Pittsburgh? Are you familiar with this guy?
Friend of yours?
No, but now I wish I was.
No, you know, you really don't want to be. Like, he's just a terrible human being and a stain on society.
All right.
He got into it with Jason yesterday on Twitter. He started this. He's the prototypical Pittsburgh yinzer that's more happy with the Flyers' failure than he is with the Penguins' own success.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, these creep types.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was his whole thing. 16,000. Like, this whole campaign that they did last night was his idea. He wanted the stadium chanting it. He wanted the banners up. Like, all that stuff that you're about to get into. It's all one guy.
Oh, okay.
And he's an armpit.
What's his
stain.
First name, James?
Mark Madden.
Mark Madden.
He spells it with a K. What an idiot.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's for all UK people out there. No, just this guy. But
he sucks.
Well, I'm just saying, it's the second worst thing I think that Penguins fans have done with chants or anything fandom regarding Philadelphia. The ultimate was the worst thing they could have ever done, which was yell Flyers suck during a moment of silence for Ed Snyder. Kiss my ass, Pittsburgh. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But for Coots to go out there and get the victory, still unfortunately 6 points out of a playoff
spot. Made it a little bit sweeter, didn't it?
It did. It absolutely did. Mm-hmm. And how about JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, 25th goal in the season. This guy'd have 30 goals if he didn't get hurt earlier in the year. That's not too bad. Coots is on the doorstep of another 30-goal season. Gotta love that.
Coots.
And by the way, Carter Hart in overtime.
Throughout the game.
Yeah, I mean, he had a stellar game, but he had two in overtime with the 3-on-3s where I was like, oh, here it comes. There's the goal.
Yeah.
And nope. The guy's unbelievable.
Are we back on the bandwagon now? Okay, good. Just making sure.
Never a doubt.
Hit the wall for a quick minute. Now he's back.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have downtown. I mean, you know, it happens.
Just needed to get his legs back under him. Just needed to get his legs back under him. 610-632-0975. Graph and Media. What's up, buddy?
Man, Mark, honestly, I haven't, like, cheered out loud for a Flyers game in a very long time, but that Coots goal was phenomenal. But, Jane, you are so right, bro. Carter Hart played out of his mind in that OT, and it was, he's the truth, man. He's the truth. So I'm really looking forward to next year because I don't, and they're not making the playoffs this year.
Nah, they got 10 games left. They're six points out. A lot has to happen.
Yeah, but it's all good. It's fun to watch. But, man, I'll tell you what. You guys taking these little phone calls this morning, taking jabs at Ben and JoJo. I'm not 100% sure why people are so up in arms over this whole JoJo taking three-pointers throughout the game thing. Like, look, I don't care how many three-pointers JoJo takes during the game, so long as he's not taking them, you know, with 3 minutes left in the game, which he didn't. So I'm totally okay with that. And on top of that, the other thing, too, is they changed up their style of play come 3 minutes left in that game. And once it was turned over to Jimmy Butler, they slowed the pace down, which was so nice to see. There weren't any fast breaks. They weren't flying down the court. They slowed the pace down, took time off the shot clock, took time off the clock, took their time, and won the game. And they won it in a playoff caliber style. And then if all four of these guys that we have on this court, including, you know, not including JJ, are playing at their peak come the end of this 16 games or however many we have left, like, there is nothing but, like the sky's the limit. Like, this is, man, last night was saying something. That was a statement. That was a real statement.
I agree.
Number one seed at home.
Graf, I totally agree. And one thing I will say, though, and I thought it was with under a minute left, and it was, Joel Embiid did hit that three to put him up 123 to 116, and that was I think that was his 13th three in the game.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that there was only like 7 seconds left on the clock, so he had to throw it up.
35. No, 35.
What? On the shot clock, you meant.
Oh, on the shot clock. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that. If you can't find the open look with 7 on the shot clock, take the 3, and he took the 3 and he made it. So that's what's up. But in the long run, like, this squad, if they continue to play this way, and they get to know each other, and these guys are picking up roles. Like, this is a huge win. People need to understand that. If you have a team that's motivated by beating the number one team in the NBA at their house with four all-stars on the lineup, like, you got to be thinking in your mind that this squad now is going into every other game knowing that they can be the best team in the NBA. So this win is far greater than anything anyone's giving it real credit for.
No, you're right. You're right, Greg. But let me ask you this before I put you on hold to get in the running for the Sixers tickets here. Here's the thing. I'm watching this game. I, for whatever reason, and I know they lost to him earlier in the season, but I look at the Sixers as a team that should be able to beat the Bucks. And it comes down to what I was talking about in the last segment, which was the matchup. I think they match up well against the Bucks. But the only team that I really want to see them beat is the Boston Celtics. And that is a matchup nightmare for them. So even when I'm watching this team, a 52-win Bucks team, and I'm watching the Sixers play them, and I feel like they're going to win the game, and I get that feeling, I'm still not as excited as if as I would be if they were facing the Celtics.
I look, man, I agree with you 100%. That's why NBA is amazing, because it's all about matchups. You could have a five squad going up against a one, and that five could have a better matchup against that one. So, like you're talking about, dude, Boston is a more fun matchup to watch against the Sixers because they're a better matchup against the Sixers. But look, man, we got Wednesday. Wednesday is the only game I got circled on that whole entire schedule, because that's what I want to see if these Sixers really got it. Guys, this is going to be a lot of fun. Like, a lot of fun.
I can't wait, brother.
I'm really excited.
They got that game against the Celtics, 7 o'clock tip-off. Graf, thanks for the call. Put you on hold there. They got the Hornets. They're going to have a down game for Joel Embiid. A little load management. You take some time off there, JoJo. Great 40-point performance. Good for you. And then you got Boston on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We talked about those games, those eight games that mattered since that Boston game. This is one of them. The Bucks they played, obviously, that matters. The Pacers game, that obviously mattered. This one coming up against the Boston Celtics, obviously, very much matters. And it's the last time they face the Celtics for the rest of the year. You want to talk about a measuring stick, Bob? This is the last measuring stick for the rest of the year against Boston before you could face them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Boston goes tonight. They're hosting Denver tonight, so they'll come in tomorrow, and they'll be well-rested for the Wednesday game, whereas the Sixers will be in Atlanta. I don't know, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Joel came home yesterday afterwards. I don't know if he'll stay with the team and just rest, but I don't really mind it. I don't mind him sitting out. If this is what they're going to do, okay, have it that. And then, yeah, you need to get mentally, you need to get in the right spot against Boston. Have your whole team out there and see what you got.
I don't mind this one either against the Hornets, a team that barely has 30 wins on the season at this point. But I still mind the 23 minutes in the All-Star game. I still mind that. Yeah. I'm missing seven games after that? That's still what I have the bigger issue with. But a game like this, you take a break before the Celtics.
But I still want to see them go up against a team that they should dominate and go out there and dominate them, instead of playing down to the level of the
like
competition.
Like the Kings last week. That's a matchup. That's a weird matchup for the Sixers, too, talking matchups. Kings match up well against the Sixers, but you're right. Yeah, they have a hell of a backcourt. Wednesday's going to be fun. Yeah, that I think the Sixers are really gearing up towards Wednesday. It wouldn't shock me if somebody else, a Jimmy Butler maybe, a J.J. Redick maybe, maybe gets gastroenteritis or something before that game on Tuesday.
Flu-like symptoms?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody else also gets a little load management.
My foot hurts. Can I go to the nurse? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I got a real bad headache.
By the way, I just saw this from Jimmy Kempski, and if this happened earlier and I missed it, I apologize. Haloti Ngata retiring.
Yeah, I think that just literally came across.
At 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
I think I'm done.
Well, that Nick Easton's move, was it Nick Easton's the sign with the Saints last night? That happened at 8:30, 9 o'clock. It's just, there's no rhyme or reason to any of this.
No, but I think Haloti Ngata went and...
Yeah, Berman's tweeting about it now. It must have just come out.
Haloti Ngata, I believe, went and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with Chris Long this offseason.
Yeah. And did you see the Twitter back and forth Chris Long was having last week?
Oh, about his
because he deferred his bonus because it came out that he said he didn't feel right taking the bonus because he still hasn't made up his mind yet. Uh-huh. When we saw that originally, it was like, oh, well, Chris Long's probably coming back. They're restructuring, and he's basically said no. He not yet.
And he even responded to somebody, and we actually ended up retweeting this because I think Jeff McClain put the story out there. And then they just said, oh, good to have Chris Long back. Somebody responded to Jeff McClain of the Inquirer's tweet, and Chris Long then responded to that person saying, yeah, no, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be back. doesn't mean that at all, as a matter
of
fact.
Yeah, I still think he does come back, but I don't know.
I hope so. For a couple of the reasons.
For DN depth.
For DN depth, and I think the guy's hilarious. Like, I just think he's a good guy to have in the city.
And he's a good rusher, man.
Yeah. He's got
a very crafty rusher.
Crafty?
Yeah.
You don't hear that about rushers too much.
Well, you got to be. You know, if you're going to be, because he's not somebody that's going to give you a lot of power. So when it's like that, you have to be crafty, where you can mix that spin move in, where it's going to be a hand slap, where you're going to come with a one-hand stab, you know, so... You know, when you're mixing it up a little bit, where it's not so one dimensional.
Yeah, like Bob does with the jump shots and dribbling, he pantomimes it. Yeah. You do the same thing with the hand stab.
Yeah,
which is
when we talk pass rush moves. Yeah,
that's my funny. Way of I get made. Up. Yeah, you do it all. I get made fun of every time I talk basketball. I start dribbling.
Yeah.
From my angle, it looks like it still looks like you're driving a car.
I know. Well, that's it's what I used to say. It's not dribbling; it's penetration. Like dribble, penetrate. That was the symbol that I.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just gonna sit on my hands.
We gotta just videotape this. You know, our full show is gonna be on Twitch at some point. You know, I think that's what our bosses are working towards here. But it's an interesting thing. It's something. I'm interested to see how people respond to it. Bob,
do we have to start getting dressed up?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, come on. It's still radio. I wouldn't worry about that. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Back into the Sixers here. One of the things Graf was saying was kind of what I was trying to take out of the game last night. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, you wanted to get this win. Yeah, you wanted it to be a statement win against the number one team in the NBA right now, record-wise. But the other part of it was you wanted to see how you would be able to handle an MVP-caliber player. And that's what you were able to do last night. And he still got 52 points, and you were able to withstand that. So then you think about, all right, well, what if they were a little bit more versatile in their offense? And as we mentioned earlier, Malcolm Brogdon, 15 points per game. He is, I looked it up, he is averaging 15 points per game, a little over that. How much did they miss him yesterday, I think, Bob? Because when you look at measuring stick games and you think about, okay, well, they're still missing one of their better players, one of their starters, right? What are they going to do? What are they going to be like when he eventually comes back? Would the Sixers still have won yesterday if Brogdon was in that lineup, you think?
I think the Sixers were going in there no matter what yesterday and winning that game. I think it was that big to them. Anytime you take a starter out of the lineup, I don't care who it is, it throws things off. You know, you're seeing Pat Connaughton from Notre Dame getting 24 minutes yesterday. I'm sure that's not really in Milwaukee's game plan. That hurts them. But I don't know. I think the Sixers, Trey, you said earlier about having a game circled on the calendar or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I think yesterday was that for the Sixers. I think they were loaded for bear yesterday, and I don't think Brogdon would have made that much of a difference.
Yeah. I was trying to break that down. I was trying to think about that and see if the Sixers still would have been able to pull out this win. And with the way Joel Embiid was playing, the way Jimmy Butler was playing, I don't see how they beat this team. I don't see how the Sixers get beat by the Bucks.
Yeah.
Even in this game, even on the road, I don't see how Milwaukee would pull that out. We'll see what happens April 4th, even though Brogdon seems like he's going to miss a little bit more time than that. I don't know if he'll be back in time for that game. But when it comes to that other matchup, that's their fourth to last game of the season. That's one of the other ones you can circle on the calendar right there when you talk about measuring stick games. But the biggest game for me, going forward, is taking place in 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's that Wednesday night game. You get the Celtics at home again, and this time around, with this starting five, you'll get another crack at the Celtics. We mentioned the number earlier. This starting five, when they've played together, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, since he was added to the mix here with JJ, JoJo, and Ben, when Tobias Harris was added, they played the Celtics almost immediately. They lost that game. It's that starting five's only loss this season playing together. 6-1 when they actually get the chance to play together. As these guys start to figure it out, I feel like really you start to see them take those steps forward. Yesterday, again, only being the seventh time they played together. Here's what I really took away from it. It was the first time in those seven games that they've played together that you saw this version of Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest difference. Of all the games, the six previous games that they played together, sure, JoJo was probably at his best, but it was the first time since this group got together that they played this style. Because before, it was Tobias Harris being the guy that was the scorer. This time around, it was Jimmy Butler being the guy that was the scorer, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't know why, if it took Brett a little time to uncover that. Like, why?
Right, yeah.
You know? But I just think they have so many multiple. You're right. The more that this five plays together, they could reach heights that maybe we didn't even imagine. Like, if they play like they did yesterday, all of a sudden my mentality, and I really have been thinking of this Boston game, it's really changed. Like, it's not, oh, here comes Boston. It's, yeah, here comes Boston. Let's see where it's at.
Right. Like, you don't see JoJo getting, he's not going to get 40 points against Al Horford. Like, you don't see that happen.
No.
So you see a guy like Jimmy Butler stepping up and scoring. I think Tobias Harris will have a big game against the Celtics.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come down to Ben Simmons. I think it's going to come down to Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. Maybe JJ gets hot, hopefully, from beyond the arc, and that helps you win, obviously. But really, when it comes down to it, JoJo will get his. He'll get 20 points. He'll get 10 rebounds, right, whatever. Right. But when it comes to everything else, you're going to have to see that version of Jimmy Butler. Maybe that's what made it click for Brett Brown. Because when Jimmy Butler comes out and unprovoked really says he's happy to execute his role in the offense as it was a couple of games ago, and then he comes out and he's able to get back into the 20-point range and all that stuff again, and then after that, you hear Brett Brown say, this is the version of Jimmy Butler that we need. And if he's not, we're not going to be as good as we can be. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was Brett finally saying to Jimmy Butler, that's just my theory, Brett finally saying to Jimmy Butler, unleash the hounds. You know, I release you. Go out there and be it. Jimmy Butler. He white fanged him. Get out there. Go play.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's not Brett's style, as far as I know, to not unleash people. So whether it was Jimmy coming in here saying, hey, it's your team, I'll just be a part of it, and it took Brett to say, like you said, Mark, you know, let's go. You're Jimmy Butler. Yeah. And that's, we talked about this before, that's what you wanted to see from Jimmy Butler at the beginning. Make the mistakes being you. Don't try to conform your game to this team. That's how I would have liked to have seen it approach. It seemed like Jimmy kind of played like, all right, let me tiptoe through the tulips and see the way I fit in. Maybe Brett did have that talk to him and said, go.
I talked to somebody recently in Minnesota, and they were telling me about when Jimmy Butler went from Chicago to Minnesota, he did something similar, where he kind of played like a shell of himself, and he kind of waited to see how everything else fell into place around him. I'm wondering if Tobias Harris coming in here in that starting five, he was trying to do the same type of thing. Almost like a boxer, where he was kind of trying to feel out his teammates and see where he fit in best. I don't know, Trey. That's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah, that feels about right, because because at first, when he first got in, he was a lot more aggressive as a player. Then when Tobias came in, he kind of set back a little bit and became that facilitator. Let me dish the ball out here and there. And then it just seems like you said, somebody talked to him and said, look, man, we need you to turn it on. Let's go. Just cut loose. And, you know, now you see Tobias's role is coming down a little bit, but you want to see him to continue to be aggressive as well.
Yeah. I want to see how he does against the Celtics.
Yeah.
That'll be, I think, you talk about measuring stick for the team. What about the measuring stick for Tobias Harris?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how he is going to adjust now against a team like the Celtics, where you know JoJo's going to get tied up, like we said a second ago. You know, Jimmy and Ben are going to get theirs, more so Jimmy. But you want to see how a guy like Tobias Harris also fits into that role a little bit more.
Because he is just as deadly.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, sure. I mean, golly, he's just as deadly.
Yeah, well, that's the part real quick. That's where they have to learn how to play together, because you're seeing too much of Tobias getting 20 shots. Jimmy Butler gets 8, 10. You see Butler yesterday get 20 shots. Tobias gets 7. They got to figure it out.
Yeah, the last time they played, Tobias Harris only had 10 points. And again, that was only his second or third game maybe back, or not back, but with the Sixers. And last time, I mentioned it earlier, you got 20 points, 10 rebounds from Joel Embiid, 23 and 14. You're not going to see a 40-point performance. You're going to have to see these other guys step up. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. But of course, before that, the Sixers have to play the Hornets as we look ahead. 610-632-0975. Coming up, I do want to jump a little bit into the transaction that the Eagles made over the weekend. Ronald Darby.
Yeah.
We didn't get into it enough, and something else could be knocking on the door for the Eagles. So we'll jump into that coming up in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas back with us after the week on the afternoon program, the Mike Missinelli Show. I believe Natalie's back from vacation today, which is why Andrew's back with us. So how about that? Everything back in order.
The ship has been righted,
ladies and gentlemen.
If only he could say Antetokounmpo, everything would be great.
Is he going to Basketball Reference? Is that where he's getting the pronunciation?
Yeah, he's trying to. He just screws it up anyway.
I still like throwing a canoe in the middle of that, such as Sam is pronounced. 610-632-0975. I mentioned this before the break. Ronald Darby coming back to the Eagles. Looks like a considering trade that Sidney Jones will be healthy, presumably. I talked to Jalen Mills last week. He said he's healthy. He's ready to go. He'll be back in time. No issues with him whatsoever. A little bit of a crowded secondary. Yep. Vontae Maddox showed you he could play last year.
Uh-huh.
Could a deal be in the mix?
You never know, but you know, one of the things that's always been said, you can never have too many corners.
You always need two quarterbacks. Yeah. You always need two running backs.
And you need as many corners you can get.
Especially one as versatile as Avante Maddox. But Darby's back. He'll be coming back to the Eagles this year. So, again, it'll be a very similar when you look at Rasul Douglas, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Avante Maddox. Like, all these guys are going to be now just fighting for playoff time.
Well,
playing time.
I mean, you had 10 changes last year in the secondary.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, it's been said that you can never have too many corners, man, and you bring Darby back for, I think this is a one-year deal.
Yeah, so, like 9 mil?
Yeah, so you just bring him back for
8.75 million, Bob.
There you go. And there you go. So you get a 1 year deal, and you just try to see if Sidney Jones is going to come back, get a little healthy, and then you just take it from there. But I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, the secondary was like one of the areas that was a concern, and now here we are again, another stacked group. So for this defense to work, you need that secondary to be tighter.
Isn't it weird how they have like six guys who all could make the claim to be a starter, yet nobody's really like a lockdown starter?
Yeah, nobody is. That's crazy.
Like, they have a lot of depth there, but yet nobody's the guy.
So who would be your guy? Starting, like, I'm just talking about the two starters.
Darby's one of the starters, as long as he's healthy, yeah.
Right, okay. And then do you have Sidney Jones? Do you have Avante Maddox? Douglas?
I'd probably go Mills with Maddox as my nickel guy.
Okay.
I think it's Mills' job to lose.
Yeah.
He didn't have the best of years last year.
No, he didn't. See, that's the thing. Before he got hurt. Now, there are other games where he was around the play, at least. I mean, everyone goes back to DeSean Jackson burning him in Tampa. Everyone will go back to that. And then the toast, memes and all that stuff get released on the Eagles media and all that stuff, social media. But I think they want it to be Sidney Jones's job.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot to be said for that, because then that makes the Eagles look smarter. Look how we got this first round talent in the top 10 talent in the second round. I think the guy that they want to take over, because Jalen Mills is what, a seventh round pick?
Yeah, six. Mm-hmm. Because he had those concerns coming out.
Yeah, he had issues coming out. Well, not necessarily on the field, also off the field stuff as well. But
they want Sidney Jones to be the guy.
Yes.
He's not there yet.
Sean Payton ruined any thoughts of that last year.
Well, he was hurt.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good weeks 1 through 5, and then the injury kind of hobbled him.
He blew a tire.
So, I mean, he's got to stay healthy and go take the job. I mean, he's getting the chance.
Right. We'll see how he gets it and puts it together. Bill in Schwanksville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy. Good, man.
Good. Sixers win yesterday, and I kind of, with you and some of the callers, I just think, what I got out of it, number one, to me, Butler's got to be the number one option. You know, I know Embiid, like you said, Embiid's just going to fall into 20-something points. And I think, I sort of think sometimes Butler's got to be that main scorer, for them to win. And Redick's got to be that 12 to 14 point guy. I love the fact, I think one of the big things yesterday, offensively, they weren't running that, that picket fence at the 3-point line, the little give and go, curl for Redick yesterday.
Oh, Bill, did we lose you? Bill, you blipped out for a second, brother. Sorry.
Sorry. I said, I like that they didn't do the dribble handoff yesterday to Redick. Redick's got to get like 12 to 14. But, usually that leads like 5 turnovers a game and 5 easy dunks. So they ran an offense yesterday kind of like through Butler offensive players. And I think that was huge for the Sixers yesterday. Especially, like I said, Butler was aggressive early. But if Butler's aggressive early, this team flies. And he was hitting that mid-range game. Same with Tobias in the second quarter. If I think if they do that and they stick with the mid-range game, they're gonna dominate. They got four guys that can hit mid-range, and that's what they need to do.
Yeah, Bill, is it? You're right. Real quick on JJ and the dribble handoffs and all that stuff. I saw maybe two or three times where they tried it, and they just weren't able to get the screen down for whatever reason. They were out of sync. I don't know if you saw the same thing, yeah. Bob. And then I saw JJ get open other ways. Like, he was doing his figure eight and running and all that stuff to get his shots.
Yeah, like you said, he was getting open the way you should get open. Like Bob says, dribble penetration, he goes in a corner, he goes to the wing, and he gets open. That's what a jump shooter is supposed to do. The only thing I want to see is Simmons still... he goes 100 miles per hour down the court, and he pulls the basket a little bit. I wish Brett Brown would teach him and talk about, maybe he does, but slow it down and, hesitate a little bit, let the defense go past you, because he always has the defense on its heels. And there's about 10 times a game where he just kind of, he could finish and drive just a little light in, like let the defense kind of pass him and keep him on his hip. And it kind of goes...
All right, Bill, where are you? I'm going to put you on hold, and maybe you'll come back, and Sam will be able to get you and put you in the running for those Sixers tickets. But no, I noticed a lot more, I don't know, everything aside from dribble high handoffs, everything aside from that, I noticed a better fluidity to the offense in general. And I thought a lot of that came from JJ. And as off-kiltered as he can look throughout the game, he had a really bad air ball from late in the game.
Yeah. Did he get fouled on that one?
I was wondering what that was.
He kind of threw it with his right hand.
It looked like he lost control and then hit it.
You talking about the second half?
Yeah.
I don't know if this particular one he was fouled on. This one,
yeah, I think he was trying to make it look cooler, or like it more difficult than him just losing the ball.
He literally took a shot. but I don't know. I looked at a lot of the way Jimmy Butler was playing, a lot of the way Joel Embiid was playing, and the early goings offensively, Ben Simmons as well. But I just noticed that there seemed to be a lot more flow to how they were playing, especially in that second half. Even to keep pace with the Bucks. I just noticed their offense seemed a lot more diverse, I guess.
Yeah, well, it led to 100 shots. And if you're going to get 100 shots in a game, that's always a good thing, especially for the Sixers who want to play at a high tempo. But, yeah, the dribble handoff, they weren't looking for it yesterday. And then it becomes incumbent upon J.J. Redick to find his ways. But if he doesn't, like Bill was saying, that dribble penetration, that dig down low to Joel Embiid, that also opens up the outside.
I saw Giannis Antetokounmpo do this, and the Bucks ended up getting a three out of this, and I wish the Sixers did this more often. I don't know if it's just the way they defend J.J. Redick or the way he just plays, but it's...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.